in these 6 weeks is to approach this whole idea of parenting from the gospel, because that is supposed to transform everything. That's supposed to take us to another level. That's supposed to teach us. That's supposed to transform us, okay? So what we see then is that the gospel, first of all, transforms parents. All right? What you got to see here is this, all right? What I want you to see is, we're not going to learn some nifty techniques to get well-behaved kids. All right? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a transformation of the way we do things. The gospel helps us to recognize and understand things in a different way, including our children. The gospel helps us to recognize and understand ourselves differently. All right, so let's look at Titus chapter 3. Okay, Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. I'm going to read that for us. Titus 3, 4 through 7.
But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, to redeem justified by his grace we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Okay. The gospel transforms parents by giving them new capacities and abilities. In other words, here the Apostle Paul talks about regeneration. All right? When you read the New Testament, regeneration is this new birth, this washing, this cleansing, this change of disposition, so that now we have new capacities for understanding and new abilities, okay, that we don't have before we're born again, before the Spirit changes us, before he gives us a new heart. The gospel delivers us from our captivity to the devil, to sin, and to the world. That is to say, it gives us the ability, right, to act freely from those things. Now, of course, we're still subject to that. We still have to fight temptation. We still have to fight the influence of our culture around us, what the Bible calls the world. We still have to fight our own flesh, but now we have the capacity and the ability then to change that. Not only that, but we have new abilities to understand things that we did not understand before. He renews everything. It's phenomenal to me. This is what I love, is when I see a new Christian, and I'll know this person before he becomes a Christian and after he's a Christian, and the basic person is still there, but there's something totally different about him, right? Suddenly now, they have an interest in the Bible, which they didn't have before. Suddenly now, they want to do what God says. They hate the things they once loved, and they love the things they once hated. And so, with the washing of regeneration, we get a new heart with new desires, new capacity to understand, new ability to obey. Okay? So the first thing that has to happen is parents have to be transformed. And it transforms them by giving them a new identity. Okay? So that they become agents of the gospel. All right, I want you to think about this. How do you see your role as a parent? All right, the gospel should change the way you see your role as a parent. Okay? So, tell me, what are some of the roles that parents take? Let me prime the pump. A lot of parents look at themselves as facilitators. You know what a facilitator is? Right? Facilitator is someone who is there to find a way of satisfying the children's desires. All right? You're a facilitator. You're there to make sure everything goes just right for your kids. Right? You're not an authority figure. Right? You're a facilitator. Okay? Does that make sense?
That's some people's. What are some other roles that parents take?
Teacher.
All right, teacher. Now, that's not bad. In fact, the Bible includes that. But when you think yourself as only a teacher, you're already starting to operate from the idea that the problem with my child is he's ignorant. Now, if you were in Sunday school this morning, what would you say the problem with our children are to begin with? They're sinners. They're twisted. They're perverted already. All right? They're not just ignorant. So
Okay, teacher, what else? What are some of the other roles? All right, I'm a disciplinarian, okay? And so we're going to have the military manual. And your job is to march in step and do whatever I tell you to do. Okay? What else? Again, there's an element of truth there, but the parent is
friend. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever cringed at that? Oh.
Yeah. Hey, buddy. It's
just not right. Some parents see themselves as environmentalists.
Right?
As long as my kids have the right environment,
they'll turn out okay. Right? Now look, we have a whole community devoted to that view.
Just a mile that way.
Right? If we just have the right environment,
we'll save our kids from all the horrible things that are out there.
By the way, there's a lot of Christian parents who are that way. Right? I'm going to do this and this and this because my job is to make sure that they have
the right environment. And if I pull all the right
things and push all the right buttons in terms of environment, they'll turn out okay. That's not what the Bible says, by the way. Okay? Here's one.
Survivors. Have you met parents who have that view of their role?
Oh, man. They're all over the place. Right? I remember... people would say to us when we were just starting out, when we came to the room, my eldest son was, let's see, he came up 85. Calvin was not quite four yet. Okay? And some people were saying to us, oh, enjoy it now because when they get to be teenagers, it's going to be awful. And that was kind of scary, right? And there are some parents who have the view that they're just survivors. They've just got to make it through.
But let's look at these passages. Matthew 28:18-20. You'll be able to quote those by heart, but just in case you don't want to take the chance in front of everybody, let's look it up and somebody read it. Matthew 28:18-20. Who's got it? Go ahead, Brian. Oh! Rachel, go.
Our Father, which art in heaven,
have you ever thought of your role as a parent as part of the disciple-making process?
God has called us to make disciples, okay? Now I want you to think about that. We're gospel agents. Part of our reason for existence as Christians is to make disciples of Jesus, right? I must not be the only one who's
not. Unless you've been so cold. Right? We're disciple makers. Now look at Ephesians 6:4. Ephesians 6:4 is the one summary statement of parents. It's the big summary statement for parental authority and what they're supposed to be doing. Okay? Ephesians 6:4. What does it say? Bring them up in the discipline and instruction
of the Lord. Now that sounds a whole lot like making disciples. All right?
So one of the things that we have to see is we have the gospel transforms us as parents by not just giving us a new capacity and abilities, but giving us a new identity. We are agents of the gospel. We're not just here so my kid can have a better life than me. Right? It's not just, I want you to toe the line. I want you to be obedient. I don't want you to mess up. It's not that. We're disciple makers. Okay? Now we're going to spend...
I think, yes, next week we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the goal of parenting, which to me is absolutely the most important thing we're going to say about anything. All right? But at least let's get this.
God wants us to be disciple makers.
Okay?
He wants us to be disciple makers.
If I have that in my mind, it's going to have a profound effect on the way I parent.
All right, next, the gospel
transforms our goals and expectations. What do you expect from your children? Okay? What do you expect from your children? What do people expect from their kids? Okay? You as a parent, looking around, observing what other parents do, what are
some people's expectations
for kids? What do they expect from their kids?
Obedience.
Okay, obedience. What else? Politeness.
Respect. Okay. All right, good. I love this one. Things like this. Well, I expect my kid to do better.
Basically, he has a good heart, but, you know, some things just aren't. You know, they're not meeting my expectations because someone else, right? My Sheila would never have done that if that nasty Aline hadn't been around. Right? We expect things from our kids that we shouldn't, because the Bible, the gospel, calls us not to expect those sorts of things. It's not what we ought to expect. The Bible tells you what you should expect from your kids. Maybe I didn't make that right, but let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. What should we expect from our kids?
Who's got it?
When you were dead in the trespasses and
what should you expect from your children? Well,
you should expect your children. You should expect your children to be
sinners. You should expect your children
to be those who cannot obey in a way that glorifies God.
They can't. You should
expect the fact that they're going to be those
who need to be transformed by
the gospel. Now, none of this sounds strange to you. You all know this. But it's interesting how our theology hardly ever penetrates how we think and what we do when we
leave here and go home, okay?
I ought to expect my kids to do bad things. I ought to expect that. In fact, I ought to expect but the fact that they're not going to be the kind of people God wants them to be
unless the gospel transforms them.
But what we do oftentimes is we act as if our rules are going to change them somehow, right?
If we only get the right environment,
then they'll turn out okay.
But we have to be thinking this.
They're sinners. They can't obey, right? Not in a way that glorifies God. You say, well, shouldn't I expect my kids to obey? Well, do people in the world obey? I mean, they don't go around murdering people, right?
Well, yeah, they do. Not everybody murders people all the time, right? Yeah, there's surface obedience. We can get
surface obedience. The law can restrain evil behavior. But they're not going to be transformed without the gospel.
But oftentimes as parents, what do?
We act as if I just had the right environment, put the right rules in place, everything will turn out all right.
And we forget about the gospel that's going to transform them from the inside out. All right?
All right, what goal?
I didn't phrase that right about expectations, but what should you expect your kids to do?
Now, where do you want to take them? Now, people have different goals for their children. What are some goals that people have for their kids?
Financially successful. Okay. What's that? Yeah, I want my kid to go to college. Boy, that's got to be it. What else? Oh, yeah, I want my kid to be a good athlete.
That's a big one, right?
Watch parents. Wow. Watch parents at fourth grade basketball games, right? Man, I remember roughing a fourth grade basketball game. How about when into the stands to pop some people out and start kicked off? But that's another story. You know? What else? What else do you expect?
Following their footsteps.
Yeah! I want you to follow in my... I didn't turn out so bad. Why don't you be like me?
Do better than your parents.
All right. I want you to have a better life than me.
All right. Well, this is good.
I don't care what you do.
Yeah. Okay, I don't care what you do as long as you're happy. I don't care what you do as long as you're a law-abiding citizen, right?
Sometimes I just want my kids to experience life.
Okay, you got to experience life. Those are the sorts of things that are there, but our goal for our children ought to be something different. If the gospel is real, then our goal should be something different.
Can you be a disciple of Jesus without going to college or being a great athlete?
Can you be a disciple of Jesus without making a lot of money?
Yeah. See, this is what we have to be aiming for. And that should make a difference in the way that we raise our kids. You know, that should make a difference so that you don't want your daughter to be being the most popular cheerleader, being the captain of the cheerleader team is not what you're aiming for.
Or the captain of the football team, or whatever the case may be, right?
By the way, Dads, that's kind of hard for us, you know? I remember when the boys were wrestling, it's like... What about him? I remember, let me tell you this story.
Yach was in junior high, he was starting to wrestle, and the coaches came to me and said,
you know what, we think this kid's going to be the first kid from Elgin to go to state. And I'm going, yeah, all right. In 10th grade, he comes to me and says, you know, Dad, I was kind of thinking, I think I'd rather play the cello than wrestle this year.
And I said, good, son,
that's great. And inside I'm going, gah! Right? It's like, okay, now you see where your heart is, right? You can be a great disciple of Jesus if you don't win the tournament. All those things. So do you think it's going to make a difference to a dad?
He says, I want you to have a better life than I did. All right? Is the idea of making a disciple going to affect the way he relates to his children now? But if he had that role in mind? Yeah, it will. It's going to make a difference. All right, it's going to transform our parental policies. Okay? What's going to rule your household? What's going to rule your household? What rules will you frame and enforce for your children?
If all you're after is obedience, that's going to affect you.
If all you want are children who toe the line, who do whatever you say when you say it, that's going to have a dramatic effect on the rules that you have, on the way you enforce those rules, all of those things.
Okay?
And again, it's quite simple. The gospel simplifies things for us.
What's going to be our policies? The commands of the gospel.
The commands of the gospel.
When a fight breaks out in your home, is the gospel going to make a difference?
Okay? Is the gospel going to make a difference the way you raise your kids? I mean, one of the easiest ones to think of is this.
When someone is bullying your kid at school, what are you going to tell them?
Right? Typically we say, well, son, don't start anything. If someone starts something with you, make sure you finish it. Right? That's not the gospel. What does the gospel say? The gospel says love your enemies. How are you going to then, as a parent, teach your child how to love that other kid?
What about when a fight breaks out in your own home?
Okay? I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. So two kids are fighting over a toy. What's the typical approach that we take? Who had it first? The gospel doesn't allow that. The gospel says you have a heart. You, see, who had it first is I don't know what you call that, maybe justice, but it's not the gospel. The gospel says, both of you need to look at your hearts right now, right? You want to keep the Torah and you don't care what it does to your brother, and you want that Torah, you've got to covet his heart. You see? The gospel makes a total difference in the way that we approach things like that. It's going to cause us to think differently than what we're normally used to thinking. Does that mean that you don't make household rules like what time do you go to bed and where you sit in the car? You still have to have household rules. You still have to have rules that you have a smooth operating thing. But the question is, are your rules going to attract people to Jesus or drive them away? Okay? Are we going to attract them to Jesus or drive them away? So you have to be thinking of everything in terms of the gospel. Lastly, the gospel gives you the source of power for parenting. It gives you the source of power for parenting. Now, I'm looking out at a number of parents here, and I think I know the answer to this. Do you need supernatural power to be a parent? Yeah, you do. I mean, you can do it with the way everybody else does and get by. But you can't do it in the way that honest God. You need supernatural power to be that kind of a parent. Guys, I can remember days. I can remember sitting with Beth in the kitchen. The kids are in bed. I can remember putting my head on the table and saying, are we doing anything right? Are we doing anything right now? I can't believe this. It's a long, hard road sometimes. And you need supernatural power. Where are you going to get it? Well, look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. These are really fascinating verses to me. They tell us the source of power to be what God wants us to be. So if I want to be a parent that's different than what's out there, right? What everybody else looks at as a good parent. I want to be a gospel-centered parent. Where am I going to get the power? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Rachel, why don't you read that for us?
My power has added to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has given us to be precious and very great promises, so that through them we may become partakers of His divine nature, having escaped from corruption that is in the world because of this sinful desire.
Okay. There's power. Notice, the power is communicated to us in our knowledge of Christ. The more we get to know Jesus, the more power is available for us. That's the conduit of power. Knowing Jesus gives us power. And then it goes on to talk about promises. All right, we escape the corruption of the world by believing the promises of God. That to me is, I want to really do a hardcore study on these verses, because it seems to be saying this. How do I escape the corruption of the world? Well, does it take discipline? Yes. Does it take the ability and capacity to say no to sin and yes to God? Certainly, it takes all that. But there's an element of faith. Do I believe what the promises and my desires are saying, or do I believe the promises of God? All right? And so there's this conduit of power to be the kind of parents God wants us to be, comes in the knowledge of Jesus. If I'm going to be a good parent, I need to know Jesus better. That will give me the power to be patient,
to be joyful in the midst of difficult children, to be able to handle the trials that come with raising kids.
If I'm going to have that kind of power, I need to know Jesus. So as a parent, I need to make that a priority. All right? Let's turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 22 and 23. Here the
Apostle Peter is talking about
the Word of God. He says, having purified your souls by your obedience
to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly
from a pure heart. since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. There is power through the gospel ministered in faith. So, I want my
children to change. How's that going to happen? As I minister the gospel in faith. What's going to change my kids? It's not going to be a bunch of rules. Now, are rules necessary?
Absolutely. Okay, we'll talk about that later. But we have in our head this idea that if we make certain rules, somehow they're going to be transformed. It doesn't happen that way.
It happens as they're transformed by the gospel.
What's going to change your children? Your
irrefutable wisdom, right? How many of us have had children who said, "Oh man, Dad,
you are so wise"? You know, sometimes it takes marriage and kids for them to ever say that.
Right? That's not, it's not your wisdom, it's not your physical strength, because our kids almost always get bigger and stronger than us. By the way, you know what? This is one thing I've noticed. If all I want is obedience from my kids, if that becomes my goal and that's the thing I live for, they'll obey as long as I'm smarter, stronger, and faster.
But guess what happens?
They get stronger, smarter, and faster. And when that happens, they don't have to obey anymore, right? At least that's the way they're going to look at it. It's not my physical strength. It's not my overwhelming intellect.
Maybe your children will be transformed by the power of their undying gratitude for all the sacrifices you've made for them as parents. Right?
Now, it comes through the gospel. It's the power of the gospel.
This has got to be how we think now. As we go through this,
we're not just saying what you got to do is work real hard
to get a decision and all, everything's great. That's not what we're saying. The gospel is going to be ministered in everything that we do, everything that we say, our discipline, our teaching, the goal that we have, how we view our kids, all of that has to be gospel-centered. When it becomes gospel-centered, then the gospel permeates everything, okay?
And through that, their lives will be transformed.
So, as we start this series, I'm convinced that only gospel-driven parents are going to be equipped to do the job. And that's because the gospel reveals Jesus, who came with grace and truth.
So from what we want to do is to talk about, how do you build on the gospel? How does that help us understand and react or respond to our kids? How does that set the goals? How does that help us in every endeavor that we have as parents?
It's the grace and truth that's found in the gospel
that will transform all our endeavors. Okay? So gospel-driven is what we're talking about. That's what we want to spend the next 5 weeks developing in terms of how we parent. All right. Well, I'm sure the folks out front aren't done yet.
So I'm going to open it for questions. Anybody have questions? Anything?
Yes, Brian.
Not necessarily a question. Right thing in the eyes of wrong, but it really doesn't. It really doesn't come from my heart. That's where all of the difference is.
Well, we just think about this. You ever see the cartoon with the kid standing in the corner and he says, I may be standing in the corner, but in my head I'm running around outside? We want him to be able to say on the inside, I want to do what's right too. And we want to talk about that yet in terms of, is there time? Do we want to change our behavior? Sure, but that's not where you stop. Okay? I've become convinced of this.
If the gospel is so central that it just transforms everything that we do. I think a lot of my upbringing,
some of my upbringing was the behavior modification kind of stuff. You know, I knew, like you said, I knew the right words to say, I knew what to do in certain circumstances, and that kept the pressure off. Right? Think of it this way, that's almost like law ministry. Law will get what the law can do, and that is, it'll restrain evil. It'll keep order. But it won't change anybody from the inside out.
And what we want to do with our
kids is to be ministering to them as parents in such a way that that's what's going to happen. Okay? Anybody else? Any other questions?
You know, next time we meet, I think, you know, because we're back here. Of course, you know, I don't care if anybody brings coffee out front,
but we got a whole lot more liberty than we got back here. Tables and everything.
So, hey, if you want to bring snacks, go right ahead.
You don't have to, though. One more question? Okay. I hope that in the days coming, we'll get down to some nitty gritty stuff. What do I do then? What happens when? Bring those questions up. Let's run it through the gospel grid and see what happens. Okay? All right. Well, you're dismissed. You don't put pressure on Jeff. Just go stand outside the doors, look in the windows, you know, do that kind of stuff. That happens in Sunday school.
All right? Okay. Thank you.